Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17, actually. It says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate, which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be up here. Lord, I ask that you just calm my nerves, calm my thoughts. Help me to give out the word that you have given to me, that you've shown me. Lord, I ask that you open our hearts and just help me to be changed because of it, that your word would go forth. I thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void, but you are powerful, and that it could change us. Lord, just help us to understand and hear what you have for us tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, Acts chapter 12, 1 through 17. If my outline sounds a little bit like pastors, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. So, a couple months ago, he asked me to do this. And I said, okay, before I could change my mind. And if you don't get anything out of this, but this one point, is that when you're given the opportunity to be stretched and to serve in a way that would glorify the Lord, just take it. Verses 1 through 5, I have outlined as Peter's imprisonment. Peter's imprisonment. We see that persecution will come. Point number one is persecution will come. If you look back at Acts chapter 11, we have Peter who was going along, and then the Lord brought down the sheet and the vessel on it with all manner of fowl and other things. And he said, Peter, take and eat. And he said, Not so, Lord. And then in verse 23, 10:28, is that where I'm at? 10:28. Chapter 10, verse 28. And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Persecution will come. Peter had just come off this massive life-changing experience that what he had known is now changed, is now upside down. Peter is now going to take his gospel to the Gentiles. And when persecution comes, it's how are you going to respond to it? We have our ups, we have our downs, but the constant in our lives should be the Word of God, should be the Holy Spirit, and let him lead and guide you. Persecution will come. Peter had his life changed with Cornelius. When the Lord is changing you, be ready be ready to be a target also. I had a good conversation with Brother Elam the other day, and he said, if you're going to be the man of God, just be expect to be changed, but you need to be willing. And if God is going to do something, if you want the Lord to do something in your life, be willing to change. When you hear that new truth from the Word that you need to change something in your life, just change it, because that's what God expects from us. He expects us to be a yes man. He expects you to serve. He expects you to say yes and to be willing to grow, be willing to change, be willing to be stretched. And that's how we demonstrate our love for the Lord, is to just say, yes, Lord, I will. So persecution will come. And then when the Lord is changing, you'll be ready to be a target. The more you grow, the more you seek to be used of the Lord, the more you're going to draw attention, the more you're going to draw fire. And you need to be ready to stand. So as you're growing, as you're learning, as I'm growing and learning, I need to be ready to stand in the day of trouble. But I need to know what I'm standing on. You need to know what you're standing on. We need to be assured that this book is true. And if it's true, then every man is a liar. And we need to stand on the fact that God is faithful to the end. I also see and hear that Peter's sleeping. Was he tired? Could be. Was it a lack of faith? I don't know. But I'd venture to say that Peter was sleeping because he had an increased faith. That in the middle of a trial, he could rest. He had seen enough. He had grown enough that he could be asleep in the middle of a trial that would possibly take his life. And every day we get trials. You get pushed. This world gets on us and tempts you to wander astray. But we need to take every trial as a chance to learn, a chance to grow, a chance to demonstrate our faith in Him, in the one that we serve. Peter had grown enough to see and to be able to rest in the middle of a storm, one that could even take his life. But that kind of faith, to rest in the middle of being imprisoned with guards chained to you, knowing that you are facing the death penalty, it only comes with a daily walk with the Lord. It only comes when we are constantly running to Him to grow, running to Him to be changed, running to Him to serve. And if you don't have that walk, if you don't have that daily time where you get in the Word, what are we standing on? What are you standing on? Because if you're not standing on it, if you're not in it, if you're not studying it, if you're not... I always tell my children, if our house is like an escalator. If we're not cleaning it and moving forward, we are going backwards. Because our house just gets to be a mess. And it's the same with our spiritual life. If we're not growing, if we're not pushing forward, if you're not in this Word, wanting to know it, wanting to desire it, we're moving backwards. We need to grow. Peter found himself in the middle of a trial, but he was resting in the fact that God was able, that God is capable. Was Peter expecting to be rescued, escape? I don't know. But he was asleep in the middle of that. In verse number 5, so 1 through 5, I have Peter's imprisonment. Verse 5, I have the church's intercession. You could spend an entire sermon on this one. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto him. So that verse, that phrase, without ceasing, ektenos, it's also found in 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. And it doesn't say without ceasing. It says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Without ceasing, that's fervency. That's on fire. We need to be on fire. We need to be passionate about our prayer to the Lord for those around us. How were the people praying? They were praying fervently. Go back to verse 3 and you'll find, or verse 2, and it said, Herod killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. They had just lost James. And now Peter is taken. And Herod's going to do the same thing with him because it pleased the Jews. Do you think their faith was a little tested? Do you think their urgency in their prayer got a little bit higher, a little bit more fervent, a little bit more fire to it? When you lose somebody, it causes you to reevaluate your life. And then every day, it's a gift. But it caused them to be fervent. It caused them to be intense with their prayers. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But you know what? That fervent prayer that you're praying doesn't do anything if you're not in fellowship with your Lord. If you have unconfessed sin or you're not right with him, your prayers fall flat. And I'm excited for the chance to be over there in junior church talking to them, being on the bus, or the opportunity to be up here, because it makes me constantly keep short accounts with my Lord. And every time he brings something up, I have to get it right. I have to make that choice. You have to make that choice to get it right. Because if you don't, whatever you say up here, whatever you say over in junior church is going to be nothing. There's no power behind it because you're doing it in the flesh. And we need to do it in the spirit. We need to do it because he told us to. We need to have that fellowship with him. The word of God does not go out and come back void. But if you're speaking it in your own power because you have unconfessed sin, says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So how were they praying? They were praying fervently. They were praying intensely because they had just lost James. It caused them to have that intense fire. Who was praying? It says the brethren, his friends, and his family. Who was praying? Those he could count on. I'm sure Peter was in there praying. And then he was asleep. Was it a lack of faith that caused him to sleep? I don't believe so. I think it was just his increased faith. But who was praying? Those he could count on. So the question is, can you be counted on? When your friends or your family or your brethren in the church are going through something, can you be counted on to pray and not just to pray flippantly or to say, yes, I will pray? But does your word, does that saying from your voice, from your lips, that I will pray for you, does it carry weight? Can you be counted on? When you say, I'll pray, do others even believe you? Because if you're not, if you develop that reputation, they're not going to come and ask for your prayers. They're not even going to tell you what their needs are. Because they don't think that you love them. They haven't seen that. How we act and what we do for other people is just a demonstration of our faith and who we're serving. So can you be counted on? Do you say, yes, I'll pray, and then forget to pray? Are we praying fervently? When were they praying? Verse 12 says, and he had considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They were gathered together. They were praying. There's something greater, and I think it means more, when we take the time out of our day to gather and pray together. It says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there he is also. It's Matthew 10:18-20. But it demonstrates that you care. Your greatest treasure, my greatest treasure, is our time. Where are we going to spend our time? And when we take that time and we go to the house of the Lord and we meet with our brethren to pray over something, it means more. I think it carries more weight. It causes us to be in unison with each other. It's more of a sacrifice to meet and pray when we have to skip out on dinner or just not do whatever we think we want to do to meet in the house of the Lord and come together and pray for something. So when you're given the opportunity to pray and to come together and pray, we need to take that opportunity. But come ready to pray. Come ready to beseech the Lord and to pray fervently. So how were they praying? They were praying fervently. Who was praying? The brethren and the family, those that were counted on. And where were they praying? They were praying together night and day, because Peter found them in the middle of the night praying for him. I lost it. So the first five verses, 1-5, I have Peter's imprisonment. Verse 5, I have the church's intercession. 6-12, I have the angel's incident. That thesaurus thing is really cool, but you find yourself stretching for those little extra words, right? The angel's incident. Okay. So here we have an unexpected escape. Was Peter expecting God to deliver him? I don't know. He had just seen James killed. But when we're in a trial, we need to have the faith that God cares. And we need to remember that God is in control of all things. Was Peter going to escape? Nope. Not with his 16 soldiers, not with his 4 quaternions. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers. And then you find in verse 6, he's bound with chains to 2 of them. And the keepers before the door. So you had 2 of them bound to him, 1 on each arm. And then you had 2 keeping the door. Was Peter going to escape? No. Was he expecting to be rescued? Probably not. Was the church going to barge in and come and get him? Probably not. But you know what they were doing? They were praying. And sometimes that's all you can do. But a lot of times it's not even the first thing we do, which is sad. Our first response should be to go to the Lord and to cast our cares upon him. And to trust him and take everything we've learned from this book, that he is in control, that he is faithful, that he is true, that he loves you more than we will ever know. And that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us sinners. And he loves you more than you'll ever know. He was bound with chains. He was not expecting anybody to come break him out. He was sleeping. But he was resting. So we have an unexpected escape. We have an unreal exit. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shone in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off. That light shone in the prison. And for one thing, Peter didn't wake up, but I'm wondering why the guards didn't wake up. It was an unreal escape, unreal exit. And the angel, the light shines in, and the angel looks at him, and he's standing over him, and he smites him in the side. And he says, arise up quickly, and the chains fell off. He says, arise, gird yourself, bind on your sandals. Why didn't the guards wake up when the chains fell off? You know, chains are pretty noisy, and it's the middle of the night. It's an unreal exit. It's miraculous. It's the only way we can describe it. So you have these noisy chains falling off, yet nobody pursues him. And then the door opens by itself. And the angel of the Lord said, gird out thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about him and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out. They went out to that together. The door opens by itself. And the angel is guiding him, and Peter's following along. He thinks he's seeing a dream. And they go through the first and the second ward. And they come out in the street, and they go another block. That iron gate opens up its own accord. And they walk out, and they go another block, and then the angel departs. And as I'm looking at this afternoon, all I can say is praise the Lord. I was chained in sin. I was facing the death penalty with no hope of escape, no hope of rescue. Then the light shined down. The Lord set me free. To do what? To go and tell others. Where did Peter go? Right to the church. Amen. Right to those that were concerned with him for his safety. Those that were praying for him. He went right there. It left Peter in awe and wonder. And there are some days where I think back of all the things that I've done, and I just have to stand in awe at a merciful, loving God that has done so much in my life. And like a couple days ago, we got on. There was a feed on Facebook. One of those memories that pops up every like 7 years, 8 years, whatever it is. And we were having problems, and we took Jennifer to the hospital, and she had to have her gallbladder removed. And you know, when those things hit, the first thing is not to say, our first response is not to say, "Thank you, Lord." The first thing out of my mouth is, "How am I going to pay for this?" And it was scary, because anytime you have any of those doctor bills, hospital bills, whatever they are, it's a test of your faith. It's a test of my faith. And who am I going to trust in? Who are you going to trust in? So we had the surgery, and we applied for the financial aid. And then like a week later, we got a letter. And it said, "Your bill has been paid in full." Not that anything I had done. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve to have that $26,000 bill paid for. But the Lord saw fit to give me a time, a moment in time to look back on and to point to it. And say, you know what? My God is faithful. Amen. And no matter what I'm facing, no matter what you're facing, He has been faithful. He will be faithful. My job is to be faithful to Him. Your job is to be faithful to Him. When we're given the opportunity to serve, just say yes. That moment, Peter stood there in awe and wonder, and he thought he saw a dream. Verse 11, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.'" When you have those moments that make you stand in awe, that make you contemplate your Lord and thank him for being who he is, write them down. Put a stake in the ground. The Israelites were told to make all those little monuments of stone. Why? So the children would ask, "What is that?" And we would have a reason. And it would remind us, and it would remind them of all those things that God had done for them, so that they could tell their children. So I'm grateful for the Facebook messages that come up, even though nobody else sees them. But those times when you're reminded, I'm reminded that I serve an awesome Lord. And I wouldn't be up here if I didn't believe it. Verses 13 through 17. Moving along. We have a damsel's impulse. You've got to find those I words, right? First point is, Rhoda got the door. And as Peter knocked, verse 12, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate." Rhoda heard that knock. and she heard his voice. And it said, Rhoda hearkened. She answered the door, and she knew Peter's voice. How did she know Peter's voice? Because she had spent time with him. Because she loved him. She recognized his voice. And then she got so excited that she forgot to let him in. I love that part. Are there times in your life where you get so excited about what God is showing you that you have to just text somebody? That you have to tell somebody? And I'm grateful for a pastor that'll look at them and respond. And for those of you that get my things every day, I'm not looking for a response. It's just for my own accountability. But I love getting yours too. And seeing what God is teaching you. And I'm grateful that iron sharpens iron. And that I have Paul to send stuff back and forth to you and communicate. But Rhoda got excited. And she left him standing at the gate in the middle of the night. And she went and go tell the others that she forgot to let him in. And then Rhoda got an earful. You're mad. Rhoda, you're mad. He's not here. Rhoda, you're crazy. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But you know what? Rhoda constantly affirmed that it was even so. Right. She wasn't going to hear it because she knew the truth. She knew that Peter was outside standing there. She knew what God had done. She knew they had been praying for him and seeking intervention on his behalf. They were interceding. And then she answered the door, and there's Peter. She got so excited she didn't let him in. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. Do I think it's a lack of faith on their part? I don't know. But when they're praying, and you're praying for something, what are you expecting to happen? When you're interceding on somebody's behalf, what are you looking for? Are you going to accept the answer that's given? Rhoda got an earful. You're mad, but she persisted. When this world doesn't want to hear, just persist. When you go to the store and you're talking to, I went to the Dollar General last week and I got some supplies for my junior church lesson. Can I just not say this anyway? So I got the stuff for the lesson and the lady looked at me. She said, what's all that for? Well, there's your opportunity right there. Right. I said, well, that's a lesson about, it was iodine and coloring and food coloring and other stuff. And she goes, is that thing on YouTube where they talk about receiving God and all that fun stuff? I said, yeah, that's exactly right. And to my shame, I didn't pursue it. Didn't hand her a tract. Those little moments you get, it's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for. And so the next time I go to the store and I get the opportunity, I need to take it. Rhoda got an earful, but she persisted. And then Rhoda got the recap. Well, they all did, really. And then Peter recounts his story. Verse 15, and they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Again, what are you expecting from your prayers? But he beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace. It's the middle of the night. Peter was not supposed to be there. Peter was delivered by an angel. Going to be executed in the morning. And then he shows up at the door and they start screaming and yelling, Peter's here, Peter's here. And he's like, shh, don't tell him where I am. I just got out. He beckoned them to hold their peace and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. When you have those moments, when I have those moments, share them. When your bills are paid unexpectedly, share that. When you find something new in the Word that you haven't seen before that you should have seen a long time ago, share that. Because we're in this together. Don't keep it to yourself. I'm slowly learning how to use my voice and to tell other people what I'm learning and to not hide it, but to be excited about it. They all got the recap. Peter recounts his story. They were excited to hear, and he shushed them. But then what does he do? He directs them to go and tell others. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. There were other people in town that were worried about Peter. And they had no idea what God had done. And he said, you know what? Go tell them. Go spread it. I was in prison, but I'm not anymore because the angel came. The Lord saved me. So the Lord saved you. The Lord saved me. Go and tell. Don't hide it. There were others worried too. So if you get nothing out, this is what I got out of it. I've been looking at this thing for like 2 months now, going over this. When I hear of my brother's pain, I need to pray. But I need to pray fervently. The incident with Pastor and his jaw, it caused me to pray in a way I haven't prayed before, or in a long time. Because you can't bear to see him in pain. You can't bear to see your brother hurt. Struggle like that. And it causes you to skip a meal. It causes you to send that text that I'm praying for you. And you know what? You really mean it. Because he hurts. I need to pray when my brother's in pain, but I need to pray fervently. I need to pray effectually. That means I have to keep myself in good standing with the Lord so that he hears my prayers. I need to pray continually. That it's not just a one-time deal. It's not just, yeah, I prayed for you, and then move on with your day. But to be in that constant state of prayer with the Lord over that person. I need to pray effectually, fervently, continually, and I need to faint not, because the answers are not always going to come right then and there. The other thing I got out of this was I was convicted that I would hear of my brother hurting. I would hear a pastor hurting. And I would pray hard in a way I haven't in a long time. But I won't pray that way for the soul of a family or friend. When was the last time you prayed like you prayed for Pastor, for the soul of somebody else? The soul of your friend that you haven't told, or your neighbor? Because we don't know when they're going to die. Like 3 days ago, the 14-year-old died in the water park up in Middletown. Was she expecting to die and drown in the water? No. Was her family expecting her to die and drown in the water? No. We don't know when we're going to die. We need to redeem the time. But I need to pray with that same fervency, that same conviction, that same heat that we prayed for Pastor over the souls of my friends and family that don't know, that haven't heard, that haven't believed, and that are on their way to hell.